Welcome to Reach For It Radio Show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
Hello, hello, everyone. It's 2015, and I hope you enjoyed the prediction show we did last week. If you missed it, check out our archives on bbsradio.com, Reach For It Radio. And we made a video of it as well at the bigcountrypublishing.com site. But it's a great show about the 2015 predictions, so you don't want to miss it. Well, today we're going to talk about some more things that we can do different with 2015. You know, I love January because it's a fresh start. We can make this a different year. And, you know, this topic is really near and dear to my heart, and it's finding your voice. So many of us were raised in families that if you spoke up, it was talking back and you were getting punished, and or you, let's say, could really express yourself as a kid and you didn't have that experience, but you had relationships that, stifled you, that you couldn't speak up for yourself. Maybe you find yourself in a work environment where you just really can't be who you truly are and speak your truth because of corporate politics. Whatever it may be, vocal toning can be the answer. And I never knew this until I married a professional voice coach. So we have my husband on today, and he's gonna be with us to tell us a little bit about how, if you're tone deaf like me, and you know, I can play the piano very well, but if I sing, the dogs start howling and run away. But you know, how voice toning, how vocal exercises, how those things can help you speak your truth, help you find your voice. And maybe just help you sing at karaoke night a little bit better. You don't have to be a professional vocalist to receive benefits. So Ted Winslow, he has been with us before and talked about solfeggio, sound healing, and angelic frequencies. Today, he's here to talk about voice toning. And he is a producer, audio engineer, video production manager, musician, singer, songwriter, and vocal coach. Ted holds a Bachelor of Science in Music and Audio Engineering from the University of Colorado and has over 25 years experience in the music business, starting his career in an 80s rock hair band to now running Big Country Productions, where he produces commercials, music, builds custom internet TV stations, records and produces audiobooks, live streaming. He has a bunch of vocal training CDs, vocalist skills and intervals, arpeggios, voice training. So anyway, Ted, you are the expert. I can't wait to learn something because I usually ignore what you say unless you're on the radio. I'm just kidding. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here. I thought you were going to introduce me as the clown of the family, so much to my relief.
I'm just teasing. I do listen to you, Ted. But I want to learn about this because, you know, when I had this idea for the show and you were like, finally, after 15 years of being married to me, you finally realize, you know, some of the things I do. And I do respect your expertise, and I'm just as much as interested in learning about this and how to speak my truth better and use this toning to, you know, like clear the throat chakra and other things. So could you start out, Ted, and kind of educate us a little bit more about vocal toning and its healing aspects?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I want to kind of start off by saying is that all of us, whether we're going to admit it or not, we have musical ability. We have music inside of us. And it's just a matter of how we're able to get it out. Our bodies are a musical instrument in and of and all of its own. And what's fascinated me with toning and singing, especially with toning, because I love overtones, is that by toning, I've been using it to warm up with some vocal scales or something. So it's like a warm up before a warm up before I go into to sometimes in a performance. Reason being is that it's going to give me a relief from stress and from anxiety. It's going to help improve my concentration. It's going to enhance my creativity. It's going to operate on my brain hemisphere with balancing, restoration of the equilibrium, increase my energy and stimulation throughout my body, chakra balancing, blah, 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 space clearing. And so that's the main things what I do with it. Technically, if you break it down, it's basically vocalizing your own voice through long, sustained vowel sounds and opening them up to vary the pitch or the timbre or the harmonic value of the tone and of that pitch. It's a process that's basically been used for centuries of self-healing, relaxation, balance, and growth. You can release anger, jealousy, resentment, frustration. You can release any negative energies or, just by intention. The main thing is using intention and being aware of the energy and connecting with your higher self.
Well, as you were talking, Ted, I just realized we were using toning to release energy in our house because we're trying to teach our kids not to have such polarity with right and wrong and who was right and who was wrong. You know, nobody's perfect kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sing it, Ted, but, will you sing it?
I was right and you were wrong, doo-da, doo-da.
And we sing that, like, if I was right, and I'll say that about Ted or even the kids, will do that. I'm not going to sing it because I'm not the vocalist of the family.
And it makes you laugh. It's a positive energy.
It does clear the room. And even if you sing it in the reverse, and telling the other person you were right and I was wrong, and you sing it, it totally changes the whole energy of the house with the kids. So, I never realized that's what we were doing until you just pointed it out. So let's talk about, a lot of people associate toning with like the Tibetan monks. Can you share with us a little bit of that information for those who haven't heard this or want more detail?
And see, with toning for me, I always have the image of the visualization in my mind of the Tibetan monks as they're chanting. And I'll call it toning. Some people know it's chanting, it's toning, but for practical purposes, I think we get the idea. But they'll be chanting against the mountain rocks in the Himalayas on the Tibetan plateau. And I've got a quote from Ted Andrews, from the sacred sounds, magic and healing, and through the words of music, that, in Tibetan beliefs, the most important musical instrument is the human voice. And the Tibetan shamans are trained in the use of outer sound projection to create inner esoteric vibrations. They learn to use the head and chest as a resonance chamber for the entire human body. The repeating toning of vowels creates a reverberation so that when the chanting stops, the sounds continue to echo within the mind and within the chambers of the body. So it's through the resonance in the frequency vibration that toning can restore our bodies as well back to their original state.
Well, and a lot of us are now really understanding how energetic our bodies are, and even though we might have believed in energy work for years, it's more research is coming out all the time that now science is backing up a lot of us energy healers out there who believed it before we really, had any of that proof. Can you talk a little bit more about like the frequencies and some of that scientific data about, the different hertz and how that can play
So through the toning, it's the resonance of the frequency and the vibration. And it's basically going to restore everything, your body, back to its original electromagnetic field, or you can call it entrainment. And as we raise our vibration, it's going to be healing our energy. going to be creating more space or more area within us, and it's going to also help eliminate stress. And this has been proven through many different studies, some of which I've been working on also as well through the use of biophotonic imaging. And I mean, you can see the vibrations not only in ourselves, but also those, as we were just thinking about singing the song, you know, family, friends, coworkers. And it's basically because all this comes from the heart. So, frequencies. As of recent, I've been toning, doing a lot of toning with the frequencies in 528 and 432, as well as I've been experimenting a lot with angelic frequencies. For a later show, we can talk about that. I'm going to be coming out with more stuff on those frequencies. But when I first came out with my first CD for helping vocalists, called Vocalist Scales and Interval, it dawned on me that creating the next one coming up to that one, which was with arpeggios, I took it out of 440 Hz tuning, and I created it into 258 Hz. Because those are the frequencies that I personally like to tone with. I think they're more harmonious. They have better overtones. It's not as dissonant as the standard 440s. Upon doing that, I came out with a second series of CDs called Voice Lessons, which are scales and intervals as well as arpeggios, and I put that into the tuning of 432 Hz. Again, a much more simple tone that's going to resonate through our body, chest cavities, throat, you know, all the components that we use for singing. Because I tend to stay away from the dissonance of the 440, again, that's a whole other subject, and I've talked about that many times.
Okay, so for the non-technical people out there like me, the 432 hertz is known as also as the love frequency. And so for, you know, people who want to tone for healing, that the voice lessons CD that was tuned in 432. So a lot of people who might not know the 440 history, that's a dissonant frequency that most voice training and toning CDs are tuned to. So with Ted's research, that's why I really wanted him to talk about this on the show. Because if you're a speaker or you are a teacher or, you know, you use your voice in your job, why not tune it to the love frequency? Clear your energy. To, you know, use it in your meditation. Clear your house, you know, and your body. And so I love that it's at 432.
Yeah, it brings your whole body back to its natural state of being. It's getting rid of all the dissonant stuff that we hear every day in everyday life, such as loud voices in the work environment to the traffic outside your car, that you're now going back and training your body back to what spirit, God, and higher being intended us to be at.
Okay, so all of my spiritual peeps out there that are into all the energy healing like I am, that 432 is big. But what about for those people who want to have a little bit better quality? Like, can you talk a little bit about vocal cords and what doing these voice exercises can do?
Sure.
From that aspect?
Yeah, it's going to, the main thing is that it's going to be, well, there's many main things, but right off the top of my head, it's going to strengthen your vocal cords so that it's going to help give those a voice who may not have one in their daily lives. I mean, how many times has somebody been sitting inside of an office meeting or a business meeting or even in their family environment and they have something to say, but they've got that one dominant character in the room that's going to be loud and he's coming right from this and you're just kind of sitting back hoping, but I kind of want to say this and nobody can hear me. And these daily exercises, just by toning, is going to strengthen those vocal cords. You know, if you think about it, by definition, toning is either going to be giving you greater strength or firmness, right, to our muscles, as, say, example, going into a gym, or to harmonize in the terms of color. And I like to think of the terms of color for the purpose of this. It's the color of your voice. We all have our own voice that is unique to us with its own color. And through the process of doing it, you can't help but relax. Whether you think that you're musical or not, again, you know, everyone's musical, but you can't help to relax. It's going to help and balance, and it's going to help and align you. It's going to also, importantly, allow your body to breathe. So so that it's expanding those energies through the simple process. And it's going to be giving your body more oxygen, which is just nourishment to the brain. You can actually release emotions and feel the shift taking place through the stoning. It's a powerful tool for self-healing, relaxation, personal growth, opening your creativity, helping you to balance you and your life experiences.
Well, you know, many moons ago when I owned a yoga studio and I met you, Ted, not at the yoga studio. I had to twist his arm to go for a while. But anyway,
we taught a lot
about pranayama, breathing, and, you know, the importance of breath and healing the body. And some people, you know, actually would practice it. A lot of people agreed with it and the concept, and there's a lot of information out now, 20 years later, about breathing and health and, you know, how important it is to have strong lungs. But, you know, I can see how focusing on your voice is just automatically going to help you have more breathing exercises.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a few things to focus on when you're doing it with your breath is that, A, you want to be using your diaphragm, and B, if you're speaking or if you're singing, because we also want to keep in mind that it's not just for us sitting there for healing. I've been doing some of this stuff for public speakers as well, and so it's important for them to be able to use the breath to emphasize a point. Breath is also going to help us with pitch, you know. It's so that if we're not out at the end of our breath, we don't have a higher pitch, which is going to be hard on the ears, but then you can have a lower pitch that's going to be most appealing to the ears.
All right, so I'm kind of curious about, you know, how your perspective of, you know, how you always hear, say your prayers out loud. You know, you go to church and they say it out loud. They're not saying the prayers in the head. They're speaking prayers. Or you go, you know, to, you know, some kind of motivational speaker and they have you yell something out loud, or they tell you to say your affirmations out loud. We only have a couple minutes before break, but could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Have intentions. Anytime you sit down to do your toning, have an intention in your mind on what you're going to be working with. Because as you were explaining, anything that we say out loud to the universe with the truest of all of our intentions, it's going to bring that into our life. And what better way to manifest than to sing about it? And what better way to get a group of people involved that you have? Now you've created a manifestation choir that's going to be operating at its fullest optimal power and potential. And so, us being nature, nature is sound. We are nature. Sound waves are the carriers of our intentions through our natural sound. So you can have intentions as abundance, cell regeneration, relationship, money, restore energy to ourselves or to our planet, and peace on earth. It's the power and sound of vibration to restore one's body and mind, spirit, sense, and balance through all of this.
Okay, so now I just got an idea. I can make a song for my New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay, I'm gonna actually try that. I wonder if you sing at your goals every day, like, you know, to set the energy at work. You might have to do it in the car if you have a cubicle and people can hear you at work.
My boss is going to give me a raise today. Sure.
Hey, my husband will take me on a vacation soon.
Okay.
I'm going to really, you know, I do take notes on these radio shows. It's educational for me as well as the listeners. So I'm going to hold you to this concept because I actually think there's something to it. All right. So when we come back, I'm going to talk to you, Ted, about you know, some of the basics of how to warm up your voice for those people interested on, you know, what this is all about. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're with Ted Winslow, and he is producer of the Vocalist Skills and Intervals voice training CD, and we'll be right back.
Hello, I am Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I have developed a proprietary system that reveals accurate insight into someone's personality traits called Namology Science. This science of unlocking the secrets hidden in a person's name has become so popular that I am offering a Namology Science coaching certification program. Join our international community of certified Namology coaches. Go to knowthename.com for details.
Have you been told you should write a book? Do you need a little help getting started? Or maybe your manuscript is already written and you require some fine-tuning before you publish? Big Country Publishing offers writing coaching packages that are custom tailored to you. Contact Big Country Publishing today so they can help you to get your book and message out to the world. Learn more at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Angelic Sound Healing by Amazon's bestseller Ted Winslow. Experience the healing tones of these divine frequencies as you call upon your angels. Transcend yourself into the angelic realm and let your spirit soar to the sensation of theta binaural beats. Now available on Amazon and iTunes, Angelic Sound Healing by Ted Winslow.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking about finding your voice and having some fun with tonings and singing and, you know, saying things out loud to empower you, to heal you. Okay, Ted. Ted Winslow's here, my husband and vocal expert, Ted. So let's talk a little bit about some warm-up information. You know, people hear about this. Very few go to a vocal coach unless they're really, you know, on the path to being a professional vocalist, a singer, maybe a professional speaker. But most people aren't real familiar what happens in voice training and some of the, you know, basics. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. There's a few components to consider with your voice and for warm-ups. So I'm going to basically go over some of that. And I use this mostly talking for singers, for those who are going to be like reading, or for speech. And the most important part that we must always remember is that when we're singing or speaking, is that it is our voice. Our voice is unique to us. You can go on and watch TV and recognize people's voices in music, with as actors, or even in commercials and voiceover work. So the next part is that this is, by working with this, it allows you to set the tone of your message or your lyric. And through all of these exercises I'm going to be kind of going through here to pay attention to, is that it's all a learned process. Easier for some, of course, than it is for others. So brings up to focus on the exercises that you're going to do. Kind of like setting an intention, if you're going to sit down to warm up your voice, is that, are you going to be doing scales or interval training, which is going to be help to increase your vocal range? Are you going to be doing vocal toning just to basically warm up your voice? And again, I like to start with toning and then go into the scales, because I've warmed it up slightly and now I've warmed it up that I can go in there and hit the scales, and then I can go in and probably go hit that song and be at my fullest potential. If you're speaking or doing reading, and I'll do this sometimes too before I start reading lyrics, do tongue twisters. It's going to help you to loosen up your lips, and it's going to help you to open up your mouth.
Can you give us an example of a little tongue twister? I know you annoy me with these around the house, but for the people out there who don't have a TED at home.
for me, the one that I use the most is red letter, yellow letter. And I'll just sit there and go, because it really widens out the mouth. Red letter, yellow letter, red letter, yellow letter, red letter, yellow letter. To get the P's, and especially the vocalists, when you're working with a microphone, you get what's called a P-pop on the microphone. You can get a screen for that, but you want to make sure that you still get the P's coming out. So a proper cup of coffee from a proper copper coffee pot. Can't believe I got that one out. Or Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. A peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked?
Okay, that's enough. I think that's enough. but it's a good example. What you're talking about with the tongue twisters. How long would you suggest someone do that if they're going to go, be on a radio show, or if they're going to record their audiobook? They might not have any interest in singing, or they're going to, they're a guest speaker even at a trade show and they have to give an hour talk. Yeah. What would you suggest for warm-up time?
Boy, just until your lips start to kind of tingle. I think that you probably have it. You'll know when you're ready. I can't give a certain time on that. Every individual is different. The more that you kind of practice it, especially with talking in everyday life, work on enunciation, which is another component of your voice in the warm-up, is making sure that we enunciate what we are doing so that we can be heard.
Okay, so
it's going to help eliminate the tendency to mumble. Have you ever been there when you're listening to a speaker talk and they might not be so confident in themselves, or they might be sick and they're, when I was going on my past kind of experience, his lips are close together, so it's going to help the tendency. If you mumble, it's going to get rid of those mumbles.
Oh, that's a good point, because I know on the radio, if you smile, you can speak more clearly. But if you're, giving a speech and it's not appropriate to smile, or, think of if you have to give a eulogy or something and you don't want to be tongue-tied and you can't be expressive in that manner, that's a really good tip, because that will help people speak more clearly. So let's talk about a little bit more about the exercises. And I know you're really clear about intentions. That's something very important to you.
Yes.
And could you talk a little bit about how people can incorporate the training with the intentions? And I'm a little confused with that piece. So
I always like to set an intention before I do something, even if I'm doing it on a project, if I'm sitting down in a recording session. What is my intention? What is the sound that I want to create? Is the intention, and there's different aspects of it. Is this intention going to be a warm-up to strengthen your vocal cords? Is this going to be an intention to build confidence in you and your voice? Or is it going to help articulate the words that are, so that they're not so difficult for you when you're speaking? Or is it to call upon the angels or your spirit guides? Do you want to set the intention that as you're doing these exercises, I just want to release this bad energy? I had a terrible day. Everybody seemed like they're in a bad mood. They just wanted to come down on me, and I'm just getting rid of the bad energy. What's that movie that's out there with the young boy? I had the most awful, horrible, terrible day, and he wishes it on his parents. You can just release the bad energy. The intention, you can also reverse that and bring in healing energy. If you have a sick one or a loved one that's going through some troubled times, you can always sit there and sing, bringing in a tone to bring in the healing energy.
Think of that. That just, it relates to me as a mom. I would sing lullabies to the kids when they would get up at night. It was very soothing. But this is interesting, and I actually saw an article on Facebook that I really agreed with. It was saying how disturbing some of the lyrics were to some of the lullabies. And here I'm like, and the cradle will fall, and you know,
bridges falling down,
ashes, and you know, some of these were really disturbing. And so I would replace the songs. Just this was many years ago, but I would sing "When the Moon Hits Your Eye" like a big pizza pie, you know, and I would sing happy little songs like that. I wouldn't even sing the other ones because they felt really heavy, energetically, and negative, and kind of creepy. Some of those lullabies. So what about, when you're talking about, you know, releasing things, you know how we have our playlist if, you know, we were a young adult and it would get us all excited for sports, or a playlist if you were broken up with somebody and Alanis Morissette was at the top of the, you know,
she made money off of that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense to me, Ted.
You know, if I can jump in on this one, I know I spoke about this once on the show before, but I was working with frequencies on how frequencies are going to raise our energy and raise our vibration. And I had somebody come into the studio, and I was playing a song in the 528 hertz. And this person was just having a terrible day, and I wanted them to hum so that we could open up the throat chakra and kind of hum along with it and tone with it to bring the throat chakra in, because this person was way out of balance with their energy off of the biophotonic, you know, doing biophotonic imaging with them. And to my astonishment, as I'm sitting there listening, I hear it through the microphone. This da-da-da-da-da-da beep, and then da-da-da beep, and I just want to beep. Next time I see this, you know, you get the idea. And I'm like, oh, my God, I was totally so not expecting this. It's going to ruin all my tests. What am I going to do? And so the song ends, and I'm like, let's go run an electroanalysis on you here and see what we have. And you realize that the stress level went down. The energy level went up.
Okay, so when people say they're venting, that actually could heal. Just don't vent on someone else. Just vent
be careful
to
who you're venting
or
in environment.
Yeah, vent to your crystal or your tree or something, and then apologize to the tree later or ask forgiveness. But, you know, so this venting is vocal releasing of stress and anger, I guess.
Yeah, because here I wanted the person to sing, and they're like, beep you, I'm not singing. I'm having a terrible day. I don't want to be here. And then when they saw the test results, they're like, oh, my God. And you know what? It felt better. Like, I actually feel better. I'm like, that's good. So do I.
Okay, so this is something that Ted and I have noticed owning a publishing company. When authors will come in and read their book for you know, because the recording studio, we do audiobooks in-house here. And a lot of times they've never read their own words aloud. They've only written them and they've only read them. And it's a very important exercise for authors, I believe. Before you publish your book, read your book aloud, because they will start editing the book because it doesn't sound right. It's not the message they were trying to get across. And when they hear it, it's like they want to change the book. But,
you know,
so I think that's an interesting aspect as well with using the voice.
That's a great point. I'm glad that you actually brought that up, because I kind of forget that. Most of the time when I'm working with these authors, inevitably within the first 30 minutes turns out to be a healing session, because they'll sit down and start to read it, and I can't tell you many times I have an author start to bawl. I have no idea what it is. I look at it and I realize this person's releasing energy. There's something that was attached to that when they were writing those words, and now that they're saying it out loud for the first time, much less for the world to hear, they go through an energy healing session that's right there. And I'll sometimes beforehand, because I know that this has happened, I'll give them tracks to sing to warm up their voice before they come in, because now they've got that intention going with it. I'm going to have a good reading. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to be articulate. I've got the spirit of music coming through me, and it's just they're going to hit it through. But it's a release. It is a release, you know, when you're hearing yourself, much less out loud.
I know, and you take such good care of them because you're in that sound booth and you're like, let's take a break, and you'll make them a tea, a throat coat tea, and you'll give them a little Kleenex. We actually had one author that came in with her slippers, her dog, and her boyfriend for support. But, remember that?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that one, but yeah, indeed.
But, you know, that's okay. It is very healing, you know, and if you haven't used your voice, you know, it does bring up emotions when you read things out loud. So do you have any other things that you want to bring up before we switch gears a little bit? I know that the one thing he gets on my case for is my posture. and sometimes it's easier when I'm in the sound booth to stand up if I have to record the audiobook or something of that nature. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, starting with vocalists, I will always try to have my vocalists standing up when they're going to sing. And I know there's a lot of guys that can sit there and sing when they're sitting down, but always have a straight body so that you can get the proper breath that your lungs need, so you can fill those up to your fullest capacity. And not only that, good posture is going to help also show confidence and believability. So if you're standing up in front of a crowd and you've got, you know, a couple hundred people out there in the audience that are kind of hanging on your words, you want to show confidence and believability in that speech or that song or that performance that you're doing. Starting out as a vocalist, as a young vocalist, I had to get up in front of many people, and it was tough for me to sing in front of people. And because I had the posture, I could control everything. And it's also going to allow you to communicate non-verbally as well with emotional cues. You know, how many times have you been at a musical performance, and you know, not only are they singing and are they dancing and getting to the show, they've got these facial expressions that are selling you on what is happening in that performance. Relax, you know, stretch before you. I always want to make sure that when I have a reader coming in and reading an audiobook, that they're relaxed in their neck and they're relaxed in their shoulders, because though they're going to be sitting, because they'll be sitting for like long periods of time, I want them to stretch out their neck periodically. I want them to get their shoulders relaxed so that they're not tight and their voice is not becoming constricted with that. You know, if you're going to be tight, that this is going to lead to you having a higher pitch in your voice, being tense in your presentation, your speech, people are going to hear that. Again, it goes back to the confidence thing. They're going to realize, you know, is this person confident, or why does it sound kind of screechy? Rehearse it. Anytime that you're going to be doing something that's in front of a performance or in front of an audience or reading, where you know time is money, if you come into a recording studio, rehearse it before you perform or you speak. I've done it for years in front of a mirror, where I'd sit there, because then you can get the facial expressions. One awkward thing that I did, and I don't know if this would ever possibly work for anybody else, but going back to my days when I was doing vocal performances, you know, solos, I would dribble a basketball around my apartment so that I was, A, focusing on the dribble of the basketball. I can't even say that. That goes back to the articulation. Dribbling the basketball so I had a rhythm that was going with it. My mind was kind of occupied with that, and I was learning the lyrics and the pitch so that when I stood up in front of that audience of a couple hundred people, terrified, I mean, I still get scared when I get up in front of people, that I knew I could go through it because I've worked on other elements that will keep my mind focused on the vocal and on that pitch and the timbre of that and what I want to emphasize with it while I'm working through those fears at the same time. And dribbling a basketball, that just was one of the weird, awkward things that I happened to do. I don't even play basketball.
Well, I just think it's a good point. You know, if it's something, if even if it's a speech, a toast you have to make at a wedding, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be a professional speaking engagement, to practice first speaking it out loud.
Yeah.
It really does. I think it empowers you. And I do think it does something with the subconscious mind too. I think there's actually a lot of studies out there. I just don't have them in front of me to cite them, about how powerful the voice is into changing the subconscious. And that's why a lot of the teachers out there tell us to say our affirmations out loud. So those are some really good tips, Ted.
Record them. I know you're going to commercial break. Record them and listen to them back, too, because then you get to hear what you sound like. You can control the color of your voice and where you want to go with it.
All right. Well, I don't like to listen to my voice, and I never listen to it. So for all those people out there that are like me, you don't have to do it, Ted says. But if you want to go, if you want to grow farther than I'm willing to grow with my voice, then do record it and listen to it.
You can do it.
Okay, so Ted, what was the one I forgot? Say it real quick before we go to break. If they want to do toning to the 432 hertz, which CD was that?
The 432 is going to be the vocalist series, Voice Lessons.
Say the exact name, though. I don't have it memorized. Voice Lessons, what?
It's Voice Lessons, scales and intervals, and then the second one to that I did is called Voice Lessons Arpeggios, and that's all in 432 hertz. Many vocalists are so used to doing scales and arpeggios for warming up, and I've done so many of them, I truthfully kind of get sick of them. I like working with melodic minors and stuff. That's on there. But arpeggios is really good, too, because then it takes you in a whole different direction and focus.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. We have a special treat for you guys when we come back from this commercial break. Ted's going to talk about toning the chakras with your voice. So we'll be right back.
When it comes to publishing, there is a difference. At Big Country Publishing, they work with you on a personal level to create a custom publishing package that's tailored to your needs as an author. Their design team and experts in the industry will contribute to you to create the book that you've always dreamed of. Isn't it time to go big? Contact them today at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Do you feel stuck? Do you feel empty or lost? Have you tried to clear what's not working from your life but have the same issues coming up over and over? There is hope. A heart and soul healing session can retrieve your soul and heal your heart so you can feel love, joy, peace, and abundance. Contact Claudia McNeely today at www.askclaudia.com and feel better now.
Hello, my name is Ted Winslow. And as a professional singer, songwriter, musician, and audio engineer, I have worked with voice coaching for many years. I created a new CD, Vocalist Scales and Intervals, for my clients who were looking for an easy and affordable way to improve the quality of their voice. So, if you're in broadcasting, public speaking, or in the music industry, you'll benefit from the voice exercises. Just load it into your MP3 player and you're ready to go. Vocalist Scales and Intervals by Ted Winslow is now available on iTunes, Amazon, and BigCountryPublishing.com.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you're enjoying this conversation with Ted Winslow, vocal coach. Ted's information, if you want to contact him, if you have questions, he gets a lot of feedback from people who use his voice training CDs. Go to bigcountrypublishing.com and you can connect with Ted there, or also on Twitter at Ted Winslow is on Twitter. So make sure you go there. He loves to hear feedback and he puts all kinds of research out there. Okay, Ted, in this last segment, I want to talk to you. You have a lot of information and practice with toning and how to open up the chakras. We don't have enough time to go through all the details, but could you talk a little bit about how to tone for the chakras?
Yeah, toning the chakras and heal is going to basically be through vowel sounds and healing vowel sounds. Why do we tone? Well, again, it's going to be to relax and calm the singer or the speaker, as well as it's going to help us to warm up our voice and give us a healing in the process. And this can be done in group settings. There's a lot of toning groups that people can be a part of or create. Or I do a lot of it individually because of my schedule is so packed, or even just a simple warm-up exercises. So how to tone. Okay, the first thing that I like to do when I'm toning is that I am going to state my intention so that I allow myself and the others that I want this, especially if it's a healing, to resonate there. You want to raise a vibration in a group, or you just might want to be at peace if you're going to be going into a performance. Number two, take deep breaths that are long and slow so that we're bringing all of that air into our lungs that we can allow. Over time, our lungs are going to expand in capacity so we can hold those notes out longer. And again, it's going to give us oxygen so that it's going to be fuel for us. Number three, slowly exhale, allowing the tones so that they can resonate their way out. I like to focus that there's a candle that's in front of me and that I do not want to blow that flame out. That's how slow I'm going to be trying to release that air out of my lungs. Now, our body, kind of said before, is a unique instrument. So as we're doing this, focus on the resonance that we can create with it, because we're actually resonating everything from inside of our chest, our throat, obviously our vocal cords, our skull is resonating, jawbone, and the rest of the bones. You know, I feel my bones resonate, especially going for a high note. Number five, and this is the last one, you can practice this in various keys or rhythms. So now those of you who are sitting there going, I have no idea what a key is, don't worry about it. If you have a musical instrument in your house or a kid that might have a pitch pipe or a recorder that they're playing in some elementary schools, just play a note off of it and try to tone to that. Get your voice to follow that as close as possible. It's that simple. Now, there's a couple different techniques that are out there. A lot of people who are into sound healing are probably familiar with Jonathan Goldman. But Jonathan Goldman, Nancy Hauser, and Neil Wakeling, they use certain sounds that they believe for opening up the chakras. Another person, Andrea Judith, she's going to use different ones. Dot Todman was giving advice for American Idol. I kind of like her. I do like her. She's going to use O for the first chakra, and then ooh for the second, I for the third, ah for the fourth, and E for the fifth, Om for the sixth, and NG, it's an NG sound, for the seventh chakra. Now I'm going to go back to what most people know that's prevalent out there is going to be that Jonathan, Nancy Hauser, and Neil Wakeling use. And you're going to pronounce the oh sound as in cup. So it'll be like oh, deep breath in. It's going to be for your first chakra. And you go up to the next one, which is going to be
okay. I don't think we have time to go through every chakra. Why don't you do the throat chakra one? Okay.
The throat chakra. Okay. The throat chakra is going to be I as in my. So it's going to be EYE. And it's going to sound like my. And that's about it.
So all right. So all the different chakras, according to different people out there, some are very well-known experts in the field. And I kind of like this gal that Dot Todman, she goes for each chakra and she's the American Idol one. Yes. Can you talk about her again? You went through it really fast, but tell us each chakra.
Yes. Yeah.
For people who want to do this at home, this seems a lot easier, I think, for the non-vocal people like me.
Sure. Dot does the pronunciation of O-H for the first chakra.
Which is the root, Why don't you say what chakra it is, too?
Okay.
Root?
It's going to be the first or the root chakra. O-O-O, like it's in you, for the second, and the sacral chakra. A-Y-E, which is going to be for the third, or the solar plexus chakra. Ah is in, like, ma, and then that one's going to be for the fourth and the heart chakra. For the fifth and the throat chakra, it's going to be E as in me. For the sixth and the third chakra, the third eye chakra, it's going to be Om, right? And then NG, Ng. Sometimes I like to put an M in front of it, so it's Ng for the seventh and the crown chakra. Ted Andrews is another guy who does some stuff. He uses vowels that he sounds, and he believes that these are to open up the areas of the body. So he'll use the vowel sounds. U is going to be for the pelvis, the hips, the legs, the feet, the lower body in general. O is going to be the lower trunk, abdomen area from the solar plexus to the groin. A is going to be to the chest cavity, heart, the body, you know, as a whole, and E is going to be the throat, upper chest, head regions, back of the skull.
So, Ted, what would you tell people out there who they feel a little overwhelmed if they think, oh, vocal exercises, you know, but what would you tell them about how to just get started? You know, I know that the CD is one way, you know, or MP3s to just sing along with it like you have available. But could you kind of, you know, really simplify it for those people out here that are listening that they want to get started with it, but they don't want to go really complicated like a professional vocalist would?
Hum. You can hum them. You can use the M sound, or just And you can, how many times have you been humming to your favorite song and you're scared to sing it even though you're in the car and the windows are rolled up and everybody else is around and you know you can't hit those pitches that artist is doing, but yet you're humming along with it and you're still tapping your foot. That's still toning to some degree, in my book at least.
So I just got an idea. You have to come out with Toning in the Shower CD.
My favorite place just to tone.
Yeah. But that's, you know, I think a lot of us do from time to time sing in the shower, but that's a great way to start your day.
You know, it is the best place because most of us have a lot of glass or mirrors or ceramic tiles that are in there, and you get an effect that is called reverberation. So it helps break up your voice. A lot of vocalists, whenever they're singing, they don't sing dry. They're going to go into the studio, and they're like, I want reverb. I like reverb. Give me lots of reverbs. I don't want to hear myself. And if you think about it, that's probably everybody's favorite place is the bathroom or the shower because of all those tiles, and they can hear the reverberation, and it gives you different pitches and overtones that are in there and echoes, and it's just much fuller.
So you mentioned something about warm-up sounds and release. We just have a few minutes left, but I think we have time to fit that in for people who are interested in just, could you go over those a little bit?
Yeah, it's helping to strengthen the vocal cords, again, because that's one of the intentions that really we should all have focused on there, that I do want my vocal cords to be stronger. I don't feel confident with using them. And you can start out loud and go to soft. So it'd be like, I'll use ah. So it'd be like, I'll pull my microphone away. Ah. Finish it out on the breath. So you're bringing it down. Or you can go high to low. And belt it out. It also clears the junk off your vocal cords. You'd be surprised how much mucus and stuff. I know, oh, gross, but that's going to help clear that stuff off so that we develop the vocal cords. Oh, you can do it with an O. Oh, bring it loud to soft. Back up. Oh. that kind of helps.
Well, on that note, Ted, we are out of time. But this has been really fun. I'm so glad you're on the show. And I hope we inspired you guys out there to find your voice, clear your blocks, have some fun, raise your vibration. If you want more information about Ted Winslow, you can check him out at tedwinslow.com. Also, Ted Winslow on Twitter. Ted, thank you so much for teaching us about the voice today.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Thank you. Love and light.
Well, to all of you out there listening, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your feedback. Check us out on reachfortradio.com. Get in touch with us. Go on to Twitter at Callisto Winslow if you want to comment on the show or suggest other topics. We'd love to hear from you. Take care, everyone. Thanks to Doug at BBS Radio, our awesome producer who has a great voice himself. And to all of you, God bless and have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Reach For It Radio. Please join your host, Christina Winslow, live each Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio. Listen live or listen later. Subscribe for free on iTunes or Stitcher. Or connect with us on reachforitradio.com.